So welcome here. Maybe for you it feels like you're finally having a church service back at home again. So that's kind of how it is for me. I wasn't here for the last 2 weeks, so it's good to be here again. And lately, I've just been mornings like getting up and looking out my window, and some mornings are a dread, and some mornings are just, you get up and you kind of have that personality of praise the Lord. And so lately what I've been doing is getting up, looking out my window, and whether there's ice on the outside, the windowsill, or whether it's 5 degrees outside or not, just telling myself, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for another day. I got a lot to praise the Lord for. And kind of conquers early in my day to set a stage for the day to praise the Lord. And so this morning I want to turn to Psalms 121, and that's kind of been a psalms that's kind of been going along with that for me lately. Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. What a blessing. And when I think about, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, I kind of get this mental picture of me in the physical battle, kind of warring against temptations that want to come my way. And then on the other side of this, in the spiritual warfare, I lift up mine eyes and there's Satan and his enemy on one side of the valley and me in the middle, and God and his army just conquering the hill, wanting to fight Satan for me. And I will lift up mine eyes, I will face the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. I hope that can be your testimony, and I hope for the coming week that there can be grace for each one of us to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. This morning, I think Neil has a devotional, and we're happy to have Brian Fox here from Missouri for the message. So God bless you both. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, come to you this morning and thank you and praise you for another day. Thank you that you've given us grace to stand in your presence this morning. Lord, you've given us a new day, and Lord, that just want to come before you and praise you today, Lord. Lord, pray in our hearts that we can be prepared to receive from you whatever comes our way today, Lord. Lord, bless Neil as he brings the devotional. Pray your power over him, and Lord, that it could be your words that flow forward, Lord. Lord, pray also a blessing over Brian as he brings the message. Lord, pray that you would be with him, guide and strengthen him. Lord, just pray for the coming week, Lord, that in each one of our hearts that we would have the power to overcome and to stand in this evil day, Lord. Thank you again for today, and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. like to welcome everybody here this morning. I see a lot of visitors, familiar faces, and maybe some not so familiar, but we're glad to have you here to worship with us this morning. I was thinking about what to have, and we just came through the Christmas season here, and I don't know about you, but sometimes when you meet with other people, whether it be in Walmart or wherever it is, it seems like there's a lack of joy in this world. Should be a joyful time of the year, and yet it seems like at times, especially this time of the year, there's a lot of stress. A lot of Americans today have soaring credit card debt around this time of the year. And I don't think that's what Christmas should be about. It should be a joyful time to think about the plan of salvation, that Jesus came to this earth and bled and died for our sins. So this morning, for a title of my devotional, I guess I'm just going to ask a question. Is your joy full this morning? And as I was thinking about that, I thought about a verse out of John 15:11. So we'll turn to that and read it this morning. And I have a few points that I'm going to go across this morning and try to get something out of this verse, maybe. So John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that my joy might be full." What does it mean to have our joy full? It should be overflowing, and we should be sharing it. It should be overflowing, and we should be sharing it with others. I know sometimes circumstances come our way, or whatever it might be, it's hard to have joy. But with Christ, we can always have joy. So what does it mean to, what does this joy mean? It means a calm delight. It's not a giddy kind of joy, it's a lasting joy. It's a lasting peace, a lasting joy. It's not empty, it's not contemporary, and it fills the soul. It is the will of Christ that we as Christians have this continued joy or rejoicing in Christ. So it should be a lasting joy, a joy that continues throughout our whole life, our Christian life, this morning. True joy is not an emotion that can be forced, fabricated, or faked. So if we don't have, we can look to the things of this world to find our joy and happiness, but it's not going to last. It's going to be contemporary. There's a lot of things in this world today that people spend their lives chasing after, things that do not bring true joy. A lot of people are searching for this true joy and satisfaction in Christ this morning. Joy should not be dependent on our circumstances. I did touch on that a little bit. We'll turn to Psalms 27:5-7. Just read a few verses there. Psalm 27:5-7. "In the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. God will always sustain us if we ask him to, through times of sorrow and grief, or whatever it might be. I had to think of a verse in Romans 8:28. I guess we'll turn to that and read that real quick. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So God always has a plan, even when we can't see it. He always has a better plan than what we think, even though sometimes our human minds cannot grasp his plan. Sometimes we can look back and see God working, and sometimes on this earth we're never going to see God's full plan, maybe at times. True joy does not come from material possessions and earthly things. Matthew 6 is a very good chapter to look at. I'm not going to turn to it this morning, but it's a good chapter to read over and to think about what our response as Christians should be to earthly wealth and possessions. And I encourage you to, if you have time, to read over that and think about that. Now, these earthly possessions are empty, and there's no true joy and satisfaction in them. We can chase them all our lives, but it's not going to bring satisfaction. This morning, are we chasing after earthly possessions? Are we trying to lay up treasures for ourselves, or are we investing eternally this morning? Making eternal investments. True joy comes through being in the center of God's will. Psalm 16:11, we'll turn to that and read that. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. So when we follow God's will, he will show us the way, and we will have fullness of joy this morning. You know, sometimes we'd like to follow our own will and our own way in life, but God never blesses that when we do that. We need to seek God and seek his will for our lives. We may be able to do our own thing, but we're going to miss a blessing if we do not follow God's will and follow our own. Joy comes when we realize God's presence. Do we spend time in Bible reading and prayer daily? Do we just go through the motions and not really comprehend what we're reading? Or I know that can be a problem in my life at times, especially when we're in maybe a busy season. But if we just go through the motions, we miss a huge blessing. our day is going to go a lot better if we spend time in God's Word, spend time in prayer each day. Joy comes through full surrender in Christ. Do we surrender ourselves to Christ? And this isn't something that we can just do one, or this isn't something we just do one time. It's a daily surrender, putting down my own agenda for the good and life for the good of others. It's not always about what I think I want to do, but what benefits others. Service, Christ, joy. There's joy in Christian service. Matthew 8, 37 and 38, we'll return to that. Not sure. I think I have the wrong passage down here. Matthew 9, sorry about that. It was my mistake. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So are we willing to labor for Christ? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Does our occupation provide a service for others in Christ and His kingdom? It's not just witnessing to others, but our everything we do should build Christ's kingdom and provide service for serving others. Do we use our business as our drive to make money or provide the best possible service for others? I believe this is one way that we can be a witness to those around us. You know, we all have hobbies, and those things aren't wrong, but we can spend too much time with our hobbies, obviously. But can we think of our hobbies as a way to try to benefit others and Christ and His kingdom? Whatever our hobbies might be. And if it's detrimental to our spiritual life, it's probably time that we find a different hobby. Those are all the points I have. There's a lot more that could be said on this. What about, there's joy in giving. Just thought of that as it was up here. God loves a cheerful giver. These points are not all inclusive. I'm sure there's many more. So this morning, let's not be discouraged, but let's keep pressing on in this Christian walk of life. Let's recognize that we cannot change others, but we can sow seeds into their lives by our words, an example of Christian living. That's all I had this morning. Why don't we all stand for a word of prayer? Lord, we just come to you this morning thanking you for another day and another opportunity to be here at your house of worship, to worship and praise you. I just pray that you would be with each one this morning, that if they have not found this joy, that they could find this joy in Christ. We just pray that you would be with each one as they go home. Just be with those who are traveling. Give them safety as they travel this week. We just want to ask that you would be with Brian as he brings forth the message this morning. Just ask for your Holy Spirit that he could bring out what's on his heart this morning. We just pray for each one of us that we could be listeners and apply what we hear to our lives. Just thank you for all these blessings you have given us. We just ask your dear son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Good morning. What a pleasure to be here at Careth. New building, same familiar happy faces. That's a good thing. I'm glad the atmosphere didn't change. I'm glad the people's faces didn't change just because the building did. It's a pleasure to be here. We had a great weekend so far. My children were getting to catch up with grandparents and cousins. And it is a responsibility to have the responsibility of preaching this morning, but it also is a joy. And I love what Neil shared, and the song came to my mind, "The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, walking by faith." And if we need strength in life, or if there's things in life that are heavy, so often a little bit of joy or a little bit of joy in Christ is strengthening. Thanks, Neil, for that devotional. I was very blessed by it. Sometimes we don't see God's reasons. You mentioned that. Sometimes we don't understand what God's up to, but we can have joy in knowing that He is only up to what is best for us. And thank you, Jesus, for that. I am going to start my message this morning talking to the children. And I would love if the children could come up front here. And it don't matter what age. If you just want to come stand up here on the right, it can be from 12-year-olds down to as long as you can walk. I would like you to come up front. And I got some stuff we're going to look at here this morning and talk about seeds. Standard one set. You can stand. I'll be fine. But what I'm going to do The title of my message this morning is The Law of Sowing and Reaping. And why don't we stand and read Galatians 6, 7. You can turn your Bibles to Galatians 6, and I'm going to read Galatians 6, starting at verse 7 to 10. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that also he will reap. For with one... Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to look into your word and to grow by what you have for us. Father, I just pray that your spirit would be here this morning and you would help us learn from your word and just show us, Father, what you need us to learn from what you've laid on my heart here. And I just pray that we would be able to hear your spirit and apply these words to our lives. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for reading. I'm not sure this is a fun message for me. It's a thought that came to me probably a week and a half ago. And it's kind of a basic, easy to understand passage. And I'm just going to go through it and share what I've learned, and hopefully it can be a blessing to each one here this morning. And it's starting out as saying, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And we're going to look at that, and we're also going to look at what you plant, what you sow multiplies. If you sow in anger or slander, that's what's going to grow. You're going to reap that. If you sow encouragement and love and generosity, you're going to reap blessings. And there's so many different ways we sow. In the things we do, you're else going to be sowing to the flesh, or you're else going to be sowing over here to the spirit. And in the things you say to each other, you're else sowing corruption, or else you're sowing blessings in life. In the words you say, in your attitudes, and in all the things that are coming out of us because of our heart condition, we're sowing. And them things that we are sowing, someday we're going to reap. And if you look here at the beginning of this chapter, or the beginning of verse 7, jumped in there kind of in the middle of the chapter, but it just made me wonder why at the beginning of that, before they talk about sowing and reaping, does it say, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this also shall he reap. You know, it could have just said that what you sow, you're going to reap. But it gives a little bit of a warning here, and I think it's because Paul probably understood the human heart. We as people are easily deceived. And what he's saying here, friends, listen up. Don't be tricked. Don't get deceived. You know, Satan is the father of lies. There's nothing he loves better than to make one of us believe something that's 100% not true. He's the father of lies, and deceit is when somebody thinks they understand something and they're 100% wrong. And he's saying here, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. It says that his words aren't a maybe. You cannot treat God's laws and concepts with contempt and expect that there won't be consequences. There is laws. And if you look at mocking God or questioning God and his authority or what he has in his laws, I just think about the snake there. Just what the snake said to Eve is, did God really say that? You know, he just, not really, I don't know if God really said that. You know, question what God said in his word. Did God really say we got to live pure lives? What did God really say? And when we read in the Bible and we find something that God says, then that's how it is. God will not be mocked. So it seems like before he shared the passage about sowing and reaping, he's saying, you guys, you could be deceived. You could be thinking that everything's okay and it's not. And then he goes on to say, whatsoever a man sows, this also shall he reap. And we're going to look into that quite a bit. And when we think about sowing, one thing that intrigued me a lot, and I didn't look at it a lot with the pomegranate there, but if you look at a pomegranate, if a pomegranate would have over 1,000 seeds in it, and each one of them seeds would make a pomegranate tree. I think there's like 120 pomegranates on a 10-year-old tree, take or give some. But just the fact that in about 3 to 4 years you would have over a trillion trees if every pomegranate seed would grow and it would just multiply. So the thing about sowing and reaping, there's a ton of things that happen that go on. You sow this little something and it multiplies tremendously. In Hosea 8:7 it says, for they that sow in the wind will reap a whirlwind. You know, it's not just the wind anymore. It creates more and it multiplies and it becomes a big deal. And if you think of doing that in a negative way, if you're just sowing little things in a negative way, what it can spool up to be a huge problem. I think one kernel of corn, Curtis could probably correct me on this one, or a farmer anyway could. I think one kernel of corn can yield up to 800 kernels. It's something like that. But just the thought of what you sow multiplies, and what you plant multiplies. And that can be a positive thing. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. If you're sharing encouragement and lifting people up and blessing them in what they're good at and telling them their strong points in life, that person goes home to their families with a smile on their face, and they breathe life into their wife and children, and their wife and children feel it, and it just keeps on multiplying. So when he's saying don't be deceived, don't be mocked, there's a thing here that they're really trying to get us to remember, and that's the fact that you will reap what you sow, and what you sow will multiply. It'll multiply way more than just one thing. It'll have a huge effect. And it's encouraging. I like to look at it in a positive way, but it is also the very same if somebody is sharing negative, it does the same thing. It multiplies. And when I think of sowing seeds, us as adults, a lot of times in things we're saying is a huge way of sowing. It's also in things we do, but a lot of sowing happens in the words that you say. A lot of seeds get planted by the words that come out of your mouth. And James 3:8. Talking about words and sowing, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you just think of it, that the words that you say are sowing. And if you look at how much power is in the tongue, and the words that come out of somebody's mouth, and the words that you're speaking into the people that are closest to you, don't forget that that your tongue can else be giving life or death. So if you have a tongue, if you're sitting here this morning and you have a tongue that works, you have a huge responsibility. And remember, what you sow will multiply. And speak life. Use your tongue to speak life. And it always amazes me, and maybe it's because a lot of times I give quick answers instead of think my stuff through, but how quickly somebody's tongue can get used as evil. Even if you're a born-again Christian and you're serving Christ, and something comes up that brings something out of you, or a pat, something happens, you can say stuff that your tongue can be used to speak death in just 1 second. And I guess my prayer is just, Lord, help us think twice before we talk. We don't know what everybody's going through. We don't know what people are dealing with. We don't know what the people that we're sharing life with, we don't know every battle they have. We don't know every challenge in life that they have. So make sure when you're talking or when you're communicating that you're sowing something that sprouts into something positive so it can multiply in their life. Something that grows and something that builds them up. You can sow with your attitude. I think that this is another way. Sometimes you don't even have to speak to sow. You can tell how somebody feels. You can tell by their body language. You can tell by who they are and what they are and what they're up to. You can sow to the flesh, or you can sow to the spirit by your attitude. And if you look at Psalms, I think it's Proverbs 23:7. It says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And just the thought of what's in your heart is coming out even if you don't say it. So you're sowing. You can be sowing even if you're not talking. You can be sowing with your attitude. And is your attitude life in the spirit or corruption in the flesh? What are you sowing? Philippians 2, I'm going to turn there. And just look at the outcome, or look at the how it would feel if the people's attitude would. This is just an example of having an attitude that is sowing in the spirit. And I'm going to start reading in 2 Philippians 2, starting at verse 3. It says, "Let nothing be done out of strife or conceit, but in humility let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Let this mind be in you all, which also is in Christ Jesus." And if you think about the attitude of a person that esteems somebody else or everyone else better than themselves, imagine what kind of sowing this attitude would do that it talks about here. Imagine the blessings if each one of us sitting here would have this attitude 24/7. Let each of us look not only on our own interest, but in the interest of others. Let nothing be done through strife or conceit, but in humility. You know, it's just the perfect example of somebody who is sowing with a proper attitude. And it talks also too later on in where you guys read there in Galatians 6, it says in Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we do not give up." And if you are getting weary, and if you're getting weary, sometimes sowing, you don't see the benefits here on this life. Sometimes you can you can do good and you can breathe life and your attitude can be right and you can be dumping your all into the kingdom and you don't see the benefits. You don't see people changing. You don't see people coming to Christ. And that's okay. It says don't grow weary. It says those that in Psalms it says if you sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. And I think there's a lot of times on the road of life where you can be sowing good seeds with a good attitude and it gets heavy. It gets hard, it gets tough. You're wondering if it's worth the efforts that you're putting in. Press on. It says, do not grow weary in well-doing. It says, in due season you will reap if you faint not. If you're here this morning and you are giving your all for the kingdom and you're breathing life, you know, Neil shared that God has a plan that's bigger than what we can understand. Sometimes we don't know what he's up to. Sometimes we don't see the outcome of the efforts we're putting in. But so anyway, it says you will reap in due season. Don't worry about the harvest. I do believe sometimes when we sow, in my life, things that I have sown have had immediate consequences or blessings. And some things we don't see till later. And that's okay. Some things mature to harvest fast and you'll pay for the consequences or reap the blessings. And other things might be after you're in heaven. It might be when you're in heaven, you might see the reason God did something through a seed that you sown. And if you listen, I don't have any stories with me, but different books you read, you hear over and over again that somebody got this one little nugget of truth that somebody gave them and they used it to bless God's kingdom. Keep sowing, even if you don't know what the harvest is. Don't get weary, even if you don't see the results. And sow for the kingdom. So often in my life, I find myself sowing or putting efforts into things that are selfish or things that are self-centered. Am I sowing for the kingdom of heaven's sake, or am I sowing for Brian's sake, or things that I want to go my way? And I find it very interesting. I'll get to that on my next point. I'm going to first read Luke 6. Just the idea of sowing and reaping and giving, and what you give makes a difference in the outcome of it. Luke 6, starting at verse 37. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Sowing and reaping. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You know, sowing and reaping again. Sow forgiveness, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give unto you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. So how you give is how you'll get back. Even if you don't see the outcome. Give. Give with plenty. Give with abundantly. And then the last chapter we read there in Galatians, it says to do good and thinking of the thing of sowing and reaping, and thinking of our words and our attitudes and the things that are coming out of our life as we do church together. And if you look at it through that, it says, let us do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. And I think sometimes, or I know it's like this in Missouri, when you get close to people and you do a lot with each other, you see their weaknesses and you see their strengths. And I think that is why at the end of this he says, do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. And when you think of planting and when you think of sowing, the people that you do church with and the people that you come into contact with on a daily basis, these are the people that are going to be affected by what you're sowing. These are the people that are going to be affected by the attitude and by the words that are coming out of your mouth. The people that you're close to. Do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. And I know it's easy to get caught up in outreach and the people around us and our neighbors, and then we meet in church and we go do our thing. But just remember that each person that you're doing church with, Satan would love nothing better than to wreck their boat. Satan would love nothing better than to take each person that's sitting beside you and help them go down the wrong road. That's his desire. That's his job. We're in a war. We're not on a cruise ship. We're in a battleship. And we're fighting. There's two kingdoms going on. There's Satan trying to destroy, and there's God over here looking for his people. He died for them, and he's wanting them, and he's looking to them. And there's all these noises that we hear here in America. There's just so many noises, and there's so many noises that try to keep us from hearing that still small voice. There's so many noises that try to make us plant seeds of bad attitude and using our tongue for things that ain't beneficial. And sometimes it's hard, but press on and do good unto those, especially those of the household of faith, the people that you're doing church with. There's nothing that could be more beneficial to the kingdom. There's nothing that could make God's kingdom grow more than a body of believers that is on the same page, caring and loving and doing for each other like they would want to be done to them. And if you're sowing this morning, remember that the words that you say and the attitude that you have, especially to the people you're close to, you are breathing out life or death into them by what you say. And I love to look at it in a positive, and I think I shared that a couple times already. But so often in my life, and if I'm going through something and there's somebody that notices it, and they just put a little bit of wind in my sail, or pray for me, or hit me up and just ask me how I'm doing, and check in and honestly care about my salvation and my fathering my home and my leading my family correctly, and they honestly care about me, the amount of wind that can put in your sail just by somebody being there. Are you the one breathing life into the people beside you? Are you the one with an attitude that's bringing death and destruction? It's a choice. And when I think of little things and people that sow, I think of Dan Avery, and I'm extremely blessed. Thanks, Dan, for the mail that you send. I was sitting in my office studying for this on Wednesday. I had off work, and I felt very led to talk about sowing and reaping. And I'm guessing it was probably for my own life. Often that's how it is when I preach. It's something God's trying to help me through. And I was in my office, and I got the daily reading that Dan sends to us. And I was kind of up against the wall, and I tore the thing open. And on the front page, it had a picture of a horse. And on there, it was talking about the bit that turns a horse's mouth. And that's how I got to looking at sowing and reaping from your words. There's life and death in the tongue. And if Dan wouldn't take the time to send that out to people, I would have never got to receive that blessing. So keep on sending stuff, Dan. I appreciate it. And I know that there's efforts that go into putting mail out. There's efforts that go into doing little things. And I'm sure there's lots of other people here in this congregation that are doing little deeds that are just constantly sowing. And keep going. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Press on. If you get a chance to do good, do it, especially to the people you're in church with. Because if you breathe life into a dad that's struggling, or a youth that's struggling, or a mom that's going through something heavy, look at the impact that it has on their children. When somebody comes home, when I come home from a meeting or something, and we were breathing life into each other, I come home and I start breathing life into my family. When I come home heavy, it just takes time. I have to share with Luann a couple times, and slowly I'm back on track again. And I guess what God has been trying to tell me through the passage here on sowing and reaping is think about the other person with your attitude. Think about the other person with your words, and also remember that they're on a journey. Remember that the people you're doing church with are on a journey. They need life. They need blessings. They don't need more weight and heaviness on their shoulders. Breathe life. Sow things that put wind in people's sails. In conclusion, live a life that you are intentionally sowing for the kingdom. And be very intentional when you're sowing to sow good to the people you do church with. Sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. And I'm going to read out of Isaiah yet in concluding the message. If you are here this morning and you're struggling to sow, if you're struggling to breathe life, if you're struggling to help people on this road of life, there's hope. We serve a God who is all merciful. We serve a God who never gives up on us if we're seeking. Isaiah 55:6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let us return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And our God, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." In closing, I just thank God that he's a merciful God. I thank God that if I find myself sowing something that's causing problems or sowing something that's bringing death to the people close to me, that I serve a God who will abundantly pardon. I serve a God that if I seek his face and call upon him, he will be found. We serve a God who knows what we're going through. We serve a God who knows exactly what we need even before we ask it. That is the God we're serving. Shall we kneel for prayer? Merciful God in heaven, we come to you this morning and we just thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for being an all-knowing God who sees what we need even before we ask it. Thank you, Father, that you're a merciful God, a God who continues reaching out and a God who always has that still small voice that is there, continually trying to call us and ask us to walk closer with him. Father, I just pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears to how we're sowing. Father, just help us see the things in life that matter to you. Father, help us to see the people we do church life with for who they really are. God, I just pray that you would give us strength to say no to all the noises out there that are trying to keep us from hearing the calling that you put on our lives. God, I just pray for strength as we go through this next week. I pray a blessing over each person here this morning. God, just I give them to you, and I just pray that you would strengthen them in whatever struggle or challenge they're going through. And God, I also pray that you would continue to strengthen the people who are sowing seeds that are good. And Father, I just pray that they would continue. I pray that each one of us, Lord, would just have a vision of sowing for your kingdom. And God, just open our eyes to the things that are causing problems. Help us to see areas where we're sowing death. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much that you're a God who cares and has mercy. Father, I thank you for your mercy. I just pray that we would receive your mercy and just be able to hear your still small voice. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for your word. And thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, who if we ask him to, will come into our hearts and forgive us for all the times we failed and forgive us for the areas in life that we're not properly giving to you. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
faithful men. Thank you for that song. Just summarizing very well what we've been taught this morning. Oh Lord, give us faithful men and women. It's my prayer, and I'm sure it's the prayer of each one of us here this morning. As we were gathering in this morning, and I was just thinking about our gathering, I was just impressed with the truth that, you know, we're gathered here from near and far this morning, from Missouri, Michigan most of all, but Missouri, Oregon, that's a long ways. My understanding is even a brother here from Florida. Just, it's amazing. We can gather from near and far, and we can come together on common ground around the Word of God, because we're family of God. That is just, to me, has just blessed me again this morning. Only Jesus, only God, could orchestrate a meeting like this morning. So I just thank God for the privilege of being here, and I just want to thank each one of you for coming and blessing our assembly this morning with your presence, whether you've come from near or whether you've come from far. Also, thank you, brethren, for sharing God's word with us. I was inspired, challenged, and encouraged. As Jonas was sharing in the call to worship, I like the reading there in Psalm 121. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. So often in my life, where am I looking? Often I'm looking down. It's just a reminder that our help comes from up above, not from down underneath. So I like that reminder, and I like that psalm just for that, because it just reminds me of where our help comes from, up above. Thank you, Neil, for the devotional. Is your joy full? I like I guess what stood out to me is the recipe for having the fullness of joy comes from being fully surrendered. If I want to be full of joy this morning, it comes from being fully surrendered to Jesus Christ and God's will for my life. Joy comes from being in the center of God's will and surrendering to that completely. That's been a challenge for me at times in life, to find the center of God's will and then to be content there. But that's where the fullness of joy will come from. So I appreciated that. And then in the message, the law of sowing and reaping, what am I sowing? With my words? But most of all, even more, with my attitudes, my body language, my example. What are the seeds that I'm sowing this morning? Are they life or are they death? More is caught than taught. So that was a sobering question for me. The law of sowing and reaping is, God set that in motion, and Brian reminded us that that's not going to change. So it's, what am I sowing? If we're sowing bad seeds, there's a warning. It's going to multiply. But if we're sowing good seeds, it's a tremendous encouragement. And I appreciated the emphasis on that this morning, encouraging us to keep on sowing kingdom seeds, seeds that will produce life in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In due season, we will reap if we faint not. I liked those verses. So thank you, Brian, for coming and being willing to be used of God and breathing life into our congregation here and into each one that's here. So God bless you as you return home and serve the Lord where he has called you. And my prayer is that your time spent with us this morning can be a an inspiration to you and your family as well. For announcements, today, the collection we're holding today will be for the building fund, and the medical fund collection is next Sunday. The order of service next week is Mylon's turn for the call to worship, Kelvin's turn for the devotional, and it's Laverne's turn for the message. So let's keep those brethren in prayer this week as they prepare. For the young people, singing tonight is at Laverne's, and next Sunday evening, Lord willing, it will be our turn to host singing next Sunday. So next Sunday evening, singing will be at Terry's. Just a reminder that Group 1 will sing next Sunday afternoon at Stonegate Village, Group 1. That's all that I have. Is there anything that should be added, brethren? If not, thanks again to each one of you for coming, and God bless you as you serve the Lord in the coming week. Why don't we stand for a benediction? Let's stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. For a closing song, let's turn to hymn number 542. Blessed be the dear uniting love. And let's just notice, especially, I guess what's special to me this morning is in verse 1, it says, our bodies may far off remove, but we still are one in heart. Praise the Lord.